Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brains.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is looking at things differently. Each of my guests will help us to look at things in a way that we've never considered before. My first guest helps us better understand the underbelly of the art world. Yeah, that's right. There's an unsavory side to the art business. My guest began the FBI's first art crime team to retrieve stolen art. We'll discuss his career from his book, Priceless. My second guest pioneered the development of asset-based thinking approach to looking at problems and opportunities in life. She'll explain how to use asset-based thinking from her book, Change the Way You See Everything. My third guest has been a journalist for more than two decades. He'll reveal the indispensable and unexpected lessons he learned from CEOs on how to lead and succeed from his book titled The Corner Office. And if you want to join in the conversation or add a comment, you can always call us at 639-0008. Bob Whitman, my first guest, is a highly decorated Federal Bureau of Investigation special agent who was assigned to the Philadelphia Field Division. He has specialized in training in art, antiques, jewelry, and gem identification, so he served as the FBI's foremost investigative expert in the field of stolen art and cultural property. During his 20 years with the FBI, Bob recovered more than $300 million worth of stolen art and cultural property, resulting in the prosecution and conviction of numerous individuals. In 2005, he was instrumental in the creation of the FBI's Rapid Deployment Art Crime Team, ACT for short, and he was named the ACT's senior investigator and was responsible for instructing the newly formed team. After spending nearly a quarter of a century with the FBI, Bob left to start his own art security consultancy firm in the private sector. Welcome to the show today, Bob. How are you today?
It's great, Billy. It's great to be here.
Well, thank you so much for being our special guest, and I want to thank you on behalf of all of my listeners for all of your years of service to the United States as an FBI special agent, so thank you for that, too.
Oh, thank you.
But let's look at this realistically. I mean, terrorists, kidnappers, organized crime. Hasn't the FBI got better things to do than to traipse around the world recovering stolen art?
Well, you know, the question is, should they put more emphasis on replacing this, what I call cultural heritage? You know, you can do many different things, and law enforcement should be upholding many different statutes. They do the terrorism investigations, which they should, and they do go after the political corruption, which they should. But, you know, if you put a little bit of resource into the cultural property investigations, that's important as well. And, you know, it's not a question of should they be putting less into it.
Well, now that's an interesting point of view, and I like the term that you've come up with, Bob, the cultural heritage. But really, isn't art theft really a crime that impacts rich people? I mean, why tie up the resources of the FBI on really such a small segment of society?
Well, because it's not really tying up resources. I mean, first of all, if it's against the law, if it's illegal, all right, and the FBI has that obligation to investigate that particular violation, then they have to do that. You have to uphold all the laws. But I don't think it's really a small portion of the population. I can talk to you about one specific case involving a artwork that was stolen from the Swedish National Museum in Stockholm in 2000. in 2000. What happened was three individuals went in. They robbed the museum with machine guns. They stole a Rembrandt self-portrait valued at $35 million.
Wow.
So they set off two car bombs to stop the police from responding and made their getaway on a high-speed boat. Fast forward 5 years to 2005, and we did an undercover operation working with the Danish National Police in Copenhagen to recover that Rembrandt. And in that case, of course, the United States with the FBI, the Danish National Police in Denmark, and the Swedes in Copenhagen, Stockholm, all worked together. Well, the reason I say tell you that is because it shows that that particular Rembrandt, although it's valuable, it's worth $35 million, it's not some rich guy. It's the heritage of the whole world.
Wow.
It's three countries that are working together to recover this piece because that's how important it is. And, you know, it's not just us. It's 500 years of history. And hopefully another 500 years from here down. So, you know, my children, my grandchildren, your children can learn from this object and can maybe, you know, grow from it.
Wow, we're talking to Bob Whitman, and that story, Bob, sounds exactly like something out of a James Bond movie. I mean, armed guys going in with machine guns, setting off car bombs. Is that the sort of day-to-day thing that you were involved in the FBI's art crime theft unit, or was that kind of extraordinary even by your conditions and circumstances?
Well, generally speaking, there's three different types of thieves that I saw when it came to museum heist to theft. And, you know, there's two different, two of them were not particularly violent. That would be experts that would go in and have the keys to the kingdom, so to speak, and would have access to collections, and they would pilfer them. You know, because they, for some reason, believed that they were entitled to have these pieces because they understood them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were the people who worked at the museum were just trying to make an extra buck. And then, too, that's just pilfering, you know. But the group I'm talking about there was your third group, and that's your armed robbers. And that's not that uncommon throughout the world when it comes to these types of capers. And many times, you know, I was doing cases with these people in Madrid. I did one in Barcelona. In Nice, and also in Copenhagen, where we went after these guys to try to get these paintings back that they stole in, you know, in armed robberies.
Interesting. We're talking to Bob Whitman, author of the book Priceless, How We Went Undercover to Rescue the World's Stolen Treasures. And Bob, that reminds me, just about a year ago, almost a year ago to this day, there was an art theft in Paris at the Museum of Modern Art. And presumably it was a lone thief went in and took five masterpieces, some of them by Picasso, Matisse, and other artists, that they figure totaled about $123 million. Now, you were in the private sector of that time. At that time. Was that the type of case that the FBI's art crime theft team would go after?
Well, we would be there to assist the French police in the event that they needed our help. That particular museum, of course, is the Paris Modern Art Museum, and that's owned by the government of France.
Sure.
And so the local Paris police and the OCBC, which is the organized crime for the safety of cultural property there in Paris, have that investigation. Last I heard, by the way, Billy, that there was I think at least two people involved in that. They think now. Because there was a getaway driver outside as well. In fact, I was in Paris about 3 weeks ago on a case, talking to the colonel in charge of that, and he was telling me some of that information. So, but they do have the paintings back. They're not back yet. They're still working on it, and we'll see how it works out.
Well, and that was a case of the third type of criminal that you talked about, the armed robber who actually
that could be. Yeah, but that was actually a burglary. There was no guns actually branded in that particular case.
Okay,
but that was really indicative of something else, though.
What's that?
The first thing that happens when there's an economic downturn is that, you know, museums all over the world, they start to give up on security. That's usually the first thing that gets neglected.
Hmm.
And in that case, the security cameras were not pointed in the right direction, and the alarms were not working. And that's not unique. So, yeah, it just shows how important security is to all these institutions.
Without a doubt. We're talking to Bob Whitman. And Bob, locally, I mean, I want to bring it down to our local area here. Down in Los Angeles County, the Getty Museum in Los Angeles is reputed to buy stolen artwork for its collections. And, in fact, it's under investigation right now. So explain the difference between what the Getty is accused of doing and just the out-and-out theft. I mean, isn't the Getty sort of acting as aiding and abetting these criminals by buying stolen art?
Well, you know, you have to look at the situation for what people know at the time that they're doing these deals. The Getty, you know, as a museum, what they were doing, they were buying some specific items
right. That
later, it later came to light that these pieces were taken illegally from the country, but they weren't, in other words, they weren't known. They were dug out of the ground. And when that happens and the pieces are not cataloged archaeologically, then how's one to know that the piece was stolen to begin with? You see?
I see.
That's the problem with looting from archaeological sites.
All right, so that's a different type of crime altogether.
Yeah, it's not the same as if someone goes to the museum, steals a painting, and just tries to sell that. Because that's an outright theft that we have cataloged that we know where it comes from.
Okay.
How do you prove that a piece that came out of the ground, you know, when it came out, how long ago it came out, and what was the situation when it came out? You know what I mean?
Sure. Well, thank you for drawing that distinction. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. We're talking to Bob Whitman, author of the book Priceless. And Bob, I mean, you had a lengthy career in the FBI, as I said in the setup to our interview here, but you were sort of an oddity at the FBI Training Academy, weren't you? You didn't come out of the military. You weren't some gung-ho police academy wannabe that jumped into this. So tell us a little bit about your background and how you made the transition from being a journalist to being an FBI agent.
Well, I always wanted to be in the FBI. When I was a youngster, I used to watch a show called The FBI Files, I think it was. And it was with Ephraim Zimbalist Jr.
Ephraim Zimbalist Jr., yeah. Quinn Martin production.
Yep, there you go, you know. And I used to enjoy that. And, you know, I always thought that would be a great job. So when I was 23 years old, I got out of college and I went to apply, and they told me that I was too young. So I waited about 10 more years and thought, well, you know, I saw a newspaper ad and I thought this might be kind of a neat thing. I had a business going at the time, and I wasn't sure I was going to go in, but I just thought it might be interesting to get the letter that says you're an agent if you want to come to the training.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that, and I guess they convinced me, because within 6 months I was in Quantico doing the training, and never looked back.
Wow, that's incredible. That really is. Now, Bob, looking back over your 25-year career, of all the cases that you were involved with, which one stands out as really being the most memorable, and why?
You know, Billy, I was really blessed because every case was really interesting to me. And each one, you know, has a special place. Just to give you an idea, like that one case with the Rembrandt, because, when you get a $35 million painting back that was done in 1630 by a person like Rembrandt when he was 24 years old, that's just an amazing feeling. But then, you know, that's $35 million. But then there was another case involving a Civil War battle flag that was carried in a battle by one of their first African-American regiments. And during that battle, five individuals were killed, shot out from under it, you know, carrying the flag. Well, you know, that was the first time that those men could fight for their freedom and the freedom of their children and all their children for all the years to come. So to be able to get that blood cloth back, you know, even though it was only worth $30,000, was just as much of a thrill, you know. So I was blessed because every time we did a case, it wasn't just money or it wasn't just another kilo of heroin. It was, you know, something of an immense cultural heritage and a nature that, you know, brought back history.
I see.
That's why I was the best guy to be able to do those cases.
All right, well, let me flip the question around a little bit then. Of all the criminals that you went after and that you busted, who ranks among the dumbest thieves that you ever hunted down?
The dumbest? Jeez. you know, sometimes they would do things. There was one, and he wasn't, it was a guy who we convicted eventually, and what he did was he tried to sell me an eagle-feathered Indian war bonnet. Now, that's illegal because the feathers are not to be sold in the United States. You can't sell eagle feathers.
That's right.
Against the law.
Right.
Well, this guy, he was an attorney, okay, and what he was doing, he was selling this war bonnet that was owned by Geronimo, all right, the Apache medicine man, and he wanted $1.2 million for it. I talk about it in the book. And it turns out he was an attorney. And at one point, you know, you have to prove knowledge in these cases. I had to prove that he knew that this was illegal. So I said to him, I said, I can't believe it's illegal that you can't sell this war bonnet that you have legally. He did own it legally. He just tried to sell it.
Hmm.
And he said, well, I'll prove it to you. So he sent me a copy of the law that says it's illegal.
Oh, my
goodness.
At that
point, I kind of laughed and I thought, well, what else am I going to do?
That has to rank right up there among the funniest stories I've heard today. We're talking to Bob Whitman, author of the book Priceless, How I Went Undercover to Rescue the World's Stolen Treasures. And Bob, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, Priceless?
Well, truthfully, I want them to, when I did the book, there was a specific reason. I wanted the general public to look at this book, not as an art book, but to look at it from the standpoint of learning how important our cultural heritage is. And how not just our cultural heritage, but our cultural heritage of all different countries, whether it's pre-Columbian or Asian or African, and how it makes us all more similar rather than dissimilar. So that, you know, people throughout the world have the same wants and desires and loves and hates. And so it just makes us all, you know, culture brings us together as a civilization, you know, as a world, and not separate groups and entities, you know.
I like that.
And I wanted people to look at this and say, okay, hey, I understand how these people felt about their cultural heritage, you know.
Art and cultural heritage bring us closer together as a people. That's a very noble thought. We've been talking to Bob Whitman, author of the book Priceless. Bob, if people are intrigued by some of the stories that they've heard, they like the sound of your voice, they want to learn more, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
You can go to my website, www.robertwhitmaninc.com. Inc is I-N-C, and Whitman spelled W-I-T-T-M-A-N. And they can see what I do now, which is go out and I still recover art and investigate cases and try to help people who have problems in the art industry.
That's great. That's RobertWhitmanInc.com. Bob, it has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Billy, I appreciate it. And I was a little worried in the beginning when you said you wanted an intelligent guest because I don't know if I filled that role.
You more than adequately filled the role. Thank you, Bob, for being my special guest.